something really, really cool happened yesterday. A lady walked in, just walked into the store, and a guy, one of the other workers, came up to me and said, "Mark, there's a lady over here that wants to talk to you." And I said, "Talk to me. Can't you help her?" Because I was in the middle of something. I had to get something ready for the truck that was coming, the parts truck that was coming in. He said, "No, she said she needed to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." So I walk out from behind the counter, and I looked at her, and I thought, she looks familiar, but I don't know her. I don't know this woman. And she goes, "You probably don't remember me, but right about a year ago now, around Christmas time, you helped me with something out with my car. And you looked at me and you said, you seem kind of sad. And you said, can I pray for you? And I said, of course you can. And you prayed for me." And she said, "I want to tell you, everything changed from that time on. And I've had the most magnificent year of my life. And I just want to say thank you for praying for me. And may God bless you." And then she holds out this money and says, "Can I give you a tip?" And I said, "We're not allowed to take tips. And I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to take a tip for praying for someone." So I said, "You have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." So that's my announcement for the week. If you pray for people, things do happen. Like our t-shirt says, we pray, stuff happens. It's awesome.
You don't know how good that testimony is. I'm going to have to figure out how to edit that when we put it up to Facebook, how well that goes with today's message, because it really goes well. So after the Advent service, 8-year-old Lee said to the preacher, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money for Christmas." And the preacher smiled and he said, "Well, thank you, Lee. But why?" And Lee said, "Because my daddy says that you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had." I just thought that was funny right there. I don't know. It makes me laugh. Does it scare some of you, afraid the preacher's going to hear something you said? Out of the mouths of babes. Turn to John chapter 3 and verse 34. And we are going to talk today about Mark's testimony, even though Mark didn't know that we were going to talk about his testimony. But we'll add that testimony to what we do this week when we edit things up, because that was pretty amazing and it goes well. So John chapter 3 and verse 34, are you there? All right. "For he whom God has sent speak the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." This is not your typical Christmas starting text. But I just want you to know that Jesus had the Spirit without measure. So then that brings up a question. Could Jesus have done anything to get more of the Spirit? I don't think so, because he already had the Spirit without measure. He had all the Spirit that could be gotten. All right? Keep that in mind. I want you to look at some verses with me. You can either just listen to them or you can turn. But I want to show you one of Jesus' major habits. Mark 1:35. And I am going to go pretty quick, so you may just want to listen. "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Jesus prayed. I got to thinking about, what did that look like exactly when Jesus prayed? You think he got in a spot and then kind of got his checklist out in his mind and started going down his list of things that were needed? What do you think Jesus prayed about? I don't know whether I should let you take some stabs at this or not. Maybe you just need to think about it. I was almost going to ask you, give me some things that Jesus prayed about. But I don't know. Just think about it, really. What did Jesus' prayer life look like in your mind? And then as we go, you'll either be confirmed or you might have your ideas expanded a little bit of what it might look like when Jesus prayed. In Luke 5:16, it says, "So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." And I thought, wow, this verse kind of makes it clear that he prayed a lot. Jesus prayed a lot. It's also clear that what he did when it was time to pray was he went to where he could escape distractions. Now, I'm thankful that in the modern era, if we choose to, we have opportunities almost every day to pray, because most of us have to get in a car every day and go somewhere. I know Matt has told me many, many times he prays on his way to Fort Wayne. And by the way, when the Earharts have been going through some things and Matt knows about it, he drives by where he can kind of see their domicile off to the north as he's driving west, and he can pray for them and has many times. That's kind of cool. The car can be a great place to pray. It can also be, you know, you can turn the radio on and that can be a distraction. I got to admit, I like to turn podcasts on, so I like to hear preaching while I'm going, or listen to a book. I've gotten into Audible, and I get some really good Christian books as well as some really interesting books that just have information, you know, I want to learn. I'm reading a book on nutrition right now. I'm listening to it. I'm not reading it. So Jesus prayed a lot, and he did what he could to escape the distractions. In Luke 6:12-13, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Well, that's a little extreme. I've prayed all night before intentionally. I prayed all night before unintentionally. How many of you have had that? You go to bed and you sleep for just a few minutes and then bing, you were wide awake and you're praying. Yeah. I've gotten to a point where I don't get as aggravated by that as I used to. It used to be like, I need to get some sleep, you know, I need to get this off my mind. Now I'm kind of like, yeah, you going to keep me awake, devil? All right, I'm going to pray like 60. You'll be sorry you ever kept me awake. Insomnia. I also read something years and years and years ago. This person actually said that it's possible that if you could lay very still and relax and focus on relaxing, that you could get as much rest in some ways in your body as you do when you're sleeping. Now, that's not completely true because there's elements of REM sleep and da 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 da. But how many of you know you get woke up sometimes by dreams? And sometimes when you get woke up by dreams, you're trying to move. Or maybe some of you have been like those people who actually wake up in another room of the house when they, oops, I was moving. This sleep study person said that there are some people who it's quite advantageous for them to actually just relax, focus, think about good things, think good thoughts. They won't actually have some of those dreams that makes you, you know, twitch and itch during the night. So it's not a dangerous thing really at all for you to wake up, and if you do, lay there and just smile and go, I have time with God right now. How cool is that? And even if the devil woke you up because you were worried about somebody, go, you know, I'm probably going to get an answer. I'm probably going to get some sense of what God wants right here in the middle of the night when things are quiet. I'm just going to talk to God. And Jesus wasn't afraid to pray all night when he needed to. And interestingly enough, according to the scripture, he prayed all night. And the next day, it says, when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. First of all, Jesus had more than 12 disciples. Second, Some of them were specifically set aside for apostleship, and God had a purpose in that. And Jesus wanted to be sure that he was sensitive to God's purpose and what God wanted. He got specific direction in a time of prayer. So he wasn't praying to tell God what he needed. He was praying to have God tell him what he needed. God communicating and directing. By the way, I get stuff in the middle of the night sometimes. There's been times when I have to try to get up quietly and sneak out of bed and go downstairs and find my laptop and sit down and I write. And I put the thoughts that God's giving me down. And then I end up sharing them with you at some point when it's God's time. Jesus was making, I think, a significant decision here with these 12 that he was going to name apostles. So he took time to pray. He took time to process. Luke chapter 9 and verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" I found that fascinating. He was praying in private, but his disciples were with him. I think what that's trying to communicate to us is it didn't bother him to have people around when he was praying. But he also didn't want to have distractions around when he was praying. Sometimes it's good for people to be around when you're praying. I know a lot of people like to quote the verse that says, when you pray, go into your closet and don't let anybody see you. And I get it. And there are times when that's appropriate. And what he was trying to do was he was trying to keep the difference between that and the people who stood out on the corner for everybody to hear what he was praying. And we've run into a few of those too. They want people to know how holy they are. Maybe they don't stand out on the corner like the Pharisees did and pray, but they still want everybody to know. Because the prayer is not so much about the connection to God as it is the fulfillment of a religious obligation. He didn't have to be totally alone, though. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 31. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. One of those guys wasn't dead. The other one was. Just saying. You can think about what that might mean. I don't know. Just saying. Do you think this was the only time that Jesus ever had a heavenly encounter while he was praying? Probably not. It's the only one like this that's recorded, but that doesn't mean that it's the only time it ever happened. And even if it was the only time that it happened to this level or magnitude, I think it gives us a hint of what Jesus' prayer life was like, and that it was more than just letting God know what's going on and making sure God was kept up to speed. How many of you know God's already up to speed about everything? You really don't have to let him know. I don't think it bothers him that you remind him. Sometimes we're processing with God, and that's a good thing. So if I tell God, hey, I need something, it's okay. But I believe Jesus enjoyed his prayer life because he enjoyed the presence. So prayer was more than just a list or a thing that we ought to do. It was connection and conversation, even more than battle and burden. I think Jesus knew how to have a good time with Papa God. Which takes me back, if you will, to the question that I asked at the beginning of today's message, which was, Could Jesus do anything more to gain more of the Spirit? Was Jesus praying really hard to get more of what he already had? I don't think so. So I think he was maybe modeling something for us. Because I think sometimes we think we've got to pray to get God on our side. We do that with fasting as well. We think we've got to fast to get God. If I fast and I pray and I strain, growl, stomach, God's going to look down and go, oh, look how hard he's trying. Okay, I guess I can help him after all. Yeah, not unless you get a hernia. Ugh. See, Jesus did everything he did as a man filled with the Spirit of God. So he could example for us what it's like to live as men and women, people filled with the Spirit of God. And so when he did what he did, it was also partly to show us how this is supposed to look. And that's why, by the way, he can expect us to do the things that he did. Because he did them as a man filled with the Spirit of God. And then the temple veil was rent in two. And Jesus said, hang out till Pentecost. And he made sure we had all the Spirit we need. And now we can do the stuff that he did. So he doesn't empower us to do anything he didn't do, but he does empower us to do everything that he did do. And Jesus manifested a life of miracles because he lived a life of presence, aware of what the Father wanted. I do nothing except what I see the Father doing, he said. One of my favorite quotes that came out of Reading says this: the measure of spiritual authority that you use in warfare is equal to the depth of your intimacy in worship. You cannot go in war where you have not gone in intimacy. When we come up against the kingdom of darkness and we are doing battle, we can only confront it with confidence, the confidence that comes from his presence. God never intended for us to have power without relationship. Let me say that again. God never intended for us to have power without relationship. And Jesus never worked power without relationship. His relationship with the Father is where all that flowed out of, his intimacy with God. So Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, for those of you who are taking notes, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus answered him and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two, the commandments hang, or these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do you think Jesus practiced what he preached? Oh, I wish I could practice what I preach as well as Jesus did. You know, every time I preach, I get a challenge usually within a short period of time. You said this. Yeah. Yeah, preachers get that. And believers get it too. The challenges come because we believe over here, But then we're over here where we're right in the face of whatever it is that we have to face, and all of a sudden it's everything we said and everything we know, and we're struggling to remember, and it's okay. That's just who we are. I believe that the primary focus of Jesus was his relationship with God. So I believe that Jesus did everything that he did out of the intimacy that he had received when he was with God, focusing on God. I believe that's something that we need to do. Sometimes we are doing our life asking God to get on board with us. And what we really need to be doing is doing God's life, trying to get on board with him. And, you know, again, it can get tricky. Sometimes I think I'm on board, and then I realize I'm in a fishing boat, and he's going that direction. Row, 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 I got to catch up. I'm not where I thought I was. The reality that he will never leave us and forsake us is absolutely true. We don't pray, therefore, to get more of his presence. We pray to become more aware of what we already have. That's really the thing, isn't it? If you're anything like me, squirrel, you can get distracted right in the middle of trying to do what God wants you to do. Maybe you're not like me. Is there any? Okay, so some of them are giggling. All right, good. I'm glad you're giggling, because I was hoping you were kind of, I don't want to be the only one. Well, I know I'm not the only one. I mean, we've got a whole Washington, D.C. is just proof. So really, we pray to become more aware of what we already have. We pray to become more sensitive to what God is up to and what is actually going to work. Because if we're following God and moving in the direction that the Spirit is leading, that's going to work. I like it when it works. It's always better. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's going to work when God says, go that direction. You know, and God did that all through the Bible. Hey, Noah, I know you're nowhere near water, but build yourself a great big boat right out here. How long is that going to take? 100 years. What's going to happen during that time? Everybody's going to laugh at you. You're the laughingstock for 100 years. What an idiot. When we pray, we get focused on what the presence provides. So, what does all this have to do with Christmas? I didn't want to preach a Christmas message. No, actually it does. You know what we all need more of at Christmas? We need more presents. More Christmas presents. The greater the level of presence we experience, the greater the level of presence we can release. In the next few days, we will be giving and receiving. Some of us will be doing more giving than receiving. Most of us in this room have gotten to the point where we do more giving than receiving, because we have kids and grandkids, and some of you great-grandkids. And you got stuff, and you want to buy stuff for people, and my wife and I try to surprise each other with a little something, but it might as well be little, because not much chance we're going to have any, you know, it's just hard to do. By the way, any of you like us, I've had Lisa say, that's for Christmas, several times during the year for me, and vice versa, me for her. It's like, that's Christmas, okay. That's why, you know, I got her some cheap stuff this year for Christmas, because we've already spent it like 10 times. Anyway, you know, that's what happens. We're like everybody else. maybe this Christmas you don't feel like you've got as much to give. There are Christmases where we've had more and Christmases where we've had less. Some of us may not be spending as much or have as expensive as of items as we've had in the past. I got Lisa a ring this year. My daughter was telling me about these rings and necklaces that went together, and I was like, I still need to get something. Daddy, do this. And so she got Lisa a necklace and I got her a ring. But I gotta say, there was a few years ago I bought her a really nice ring for Christmas, you know. It wasn't that nice. I'm not, one of those guys. I don't have thousands of dollars to spend on jewelry. But, it's the thought, right? She was happy. She was like, oh, what a surprise. Bubble gum, yes. Well, I ate the Cracker Jacks. I didn't give those to her. I just gave her the ring. What if we could give more, though, without having more to give financially? Like, what if we could give with all of our presents, we could give presents?
Everybody loves that.
More presents with our presents. More of his presence with our presence. What if we could focus on trying to put the breath of God on some of the stuff that we're doing? And not only letting people have something from us, but letting them know that we care about them. And then take that to a level where I just want you to know God loves you and I love you. And that's sometimes just what people need to hear more than anything. Like Mark praying for the lady. By the way, Mark, I know you're working Christmas Eve. Till what time? 7? 7:15. So that guy that walks in at 7:14, he's going to be so glad that you were still open, because he needs that car fixed or he's not going to get where he has to go. I mean, probably, that'd be, how many of you'd be very happy if you ran into Mark at the store where you needed a car part and he had the car part and he was there just when you needed it so you could get to something important for you? I'm thankful a lot of people will be working all Christmas Eve and all day Christmas, because some of them are essential services. Maybe you ought to just take your family over to the hospital and sing a carol to the emergency room doctor and people there. Aren't you glad they're there? You might be if you choke on something. This week I had an opportunity to prophesy over a waitress named Natalie. I'll describe how this is so you can see my process, what happens to me sometimes, because I was just there thinking I ought to have a word for my waitress. I was distracted, though, because we're sitting there and all of a sudden we're in Defiance Applebee's, and all of a sudden, and thank you for the card, whoever got that, yay, we ate at Applebee's. We still got more to eat at Applebee's. We still got more on that card. Yay, but thank you. So we were in there using our card, and I look over, and there's Mary Baker, Jim Baker's wife. And I'm thinking, that can't be Mary Baker. This is Defiance. Why would she be here? And there were three other ladies with her, and I couldn't see the one lady, and then the other two I could see, and I didn't really recognize them, but I kept, that's God. So I got my text message up. Mary, are you here, or is this just your twin? And she didn't respond. I found out later she left her phone in the car. So finally, I just kept kind of, there was a lady sitting on the corner, and then I saw it. Her name's Cheryl, and I know Cheryl real well. Cheryl Kirkham took over for me as the regional director for Sozo, because I was the original regional director for Sozo here in the area. So I passed it on to her. She does a lot of Sozo, and it's amazing. And so I saw her, and then I walked over and said, what are you ladies doing here? And we started talking. She goes, well, there's Jim. Well, he was over a couple tables over for some reason. And so I got to visit with them. And then, I was being distracted, but I couldn't get away from Natalie, who could come up to the table earlier, because I looked at her name tag, and I saw the word Nat. And I was like, Nat, like gnats. And I couldn't get off this picture that I had in my mind of all these gnats just swarming around. And I thought, what? That's just weird. I'm getting more and more like Cord Earhart all the time when it comes to prophecy, just weird stuff. So it was just weird, and I just kept seeing these gnats swarming around. And I finally said, okay, what's with the gnats, Lord? And he said, oh, she's got all this little stuff that's bugging her, all these little things that are just bugging her. And she's, you know, distractions and just stuff. And there's just so much going on in her life right now, and she just needs to be encouraged. I got this. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you. So I sit back down at the table. She finally comes over again, and I said, Natalie. And I just told her, I said, I prophesy over people. God tells me stuff, and I tell people what God says. And sometimes I ask them, do you want to hear it? But usually I don't. I just say, and I just, here's the weird thing. I saw you, and I didn't explain to her the whole process. I just felt like there's a whole lot of little things bugging you right now. Like there's just a pile of little stuff going on all at once. It's just crazy, all the little stuff that's just kind of coming at you right now. And she started to puddle up, you know, or tears in her eyes. And I said, and the Lord wants you to know that he's watching over you and he's going to take care of you. And I forget what all I said. I just said a bunch of stuff to her. And she just got tears in her eyes. And she says, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And you know, I didn't go into the restaurant and, you know, sit at the table speaking tongues with my hands raised, waiting for the presence to come. Because I already got it. And you know what? That presence comes because I pray a lot. I am thankful for cars because cars are great places to pray. And I set aside other times to pray too. And I have maybe more time than some of you all have to pray because I don't do anything, you know, and just preach on Sunday and that's all I do. So, yeah, I got two secretaries who can vouch for that now. So anyway, here's the reality. I just started saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And he gave me something to do, and it blessed somebody. Just like when Mark just took an opportunity to help somebody in a way that was beyond the car part thing. Just prayed. And that's pretty dramatic difference right there, that she would actually, man, that's powerful. And sometimes people won't remember or even think about it. They'll just have a good year and never think about it. But that's powerful that she came back and wanted to say that to you. That's awesome. So some of us may not have much money to spend. Maybe not as much as we've had in the past, and we're not able to do what we'd like to do. But we can still give more Christmas presents this year than ever before. You can give more Christmas presents than ever before. You can give Christmas presents to total strangers, like Mark did. Christmas presents. And the answer to seeing your ability to give more presents is to find yourself in more presents. So we need to be aware of his presence in us, because he's also given us the Spirit. And I could argue, it has no measure either. Somebody says, really? Yeah. The only thing that I think stops the Spirit is the cork sometimes that we shove in it, because we become a pond instead of a river. And instead of letting it flow, we're just gathering it up. And there's a point at which it's hard to get more, because there's not any room for more. You have to overflow to get your more. Matthew 25:40. I've said this a lot over the years. Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. Intimacy with God can often be achieved through ministry to those near us. Especially for those who seem not to deserve our time or attention. Every once in a while, I'll be driving along and somebody will do something stupid. And I did this on the way home, I think, this sometime over the last couple of days. Somebody irritated me and I said, oh yeah, we were turning onto Laurel Run. road going back to Lake Hope. I had just a good time with my family at Lake Hope. My phone service was completely dead, though. Well, not completely. For some weird reason, some text messages got through and some didn't. That was interesting. But anyway, this truck was in front of us, and he had been going slow for a long time already, and we made the turn onto Laurel Run to go back that direction, and then he turned immediately and went off, and I said, "You suppose I ought to just follow him in there and say, thank you for getting off the road finally?" Anybody ever feel like doing that? Maybe I should have been more full of the Spirit and thought to myself, I need to turn off the road and prophesy over that guy. Or just tell him, hey, Merry Christmas, just wanted to tell you. Merry Christmas. Spread the love. I was aggravated when I should have been focusing on what God would want to do. Sometimes we minister to others and we start to realize, oh yeah, I've been a little distracted today. And I took a minute to minister to this person, and now I'm like, whoa, yeah, I'm on. Forgive me for being distracted, Lord. Refocus. Because the two great commandments that summed up the law were love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We get to do both. So as we give more of his presence, we get more of his presence. As we give more of his presence, we get more of his presence. Wow. More Christmas presents to all of you. More Christmas presents for you. Put your hand on somebody next to you and say, more Christmas presents, Lord. I want you to go after more Christmas presents so you can give more Christmas presents. And I want you to be the one who gives Christmas presents. And you know that I'm not spelling it P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. I'm spelling it P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. I can't spell very well, so I had to look. Be the one to give Christmas presents this holiday. Amen? Amen? Amen. And you can do it. I know you can. Anybody else got a testimony this morning before we... Yeah, come on, come on. Bring them up. Bring them up. I am so thankful. And these testimonies will be presents to all of us. Let me get this thing turned on. All right.
So last week, everybody was praying. Emery had surgery. She had to have surgery. And back in August... she started complaining that her feet were going numb, and so took her to the doctor, and they ran tests and whatever, and come to find out she had what they call a tethered cord. And so we started preparing for surgery, and we went in, and they did it, and she, within just a few hours of waking up, she's like, I can feel my feet. I'm like, this is really cool. Well, the other part that we didn't realize was her legs were so jittery, and every time she would move or roll over, even like the next day when she starts standing up, she would lay back down, her legs would just shake like crazy. Well, Thursday night the doctor came in, and we were like, you know, I was telling him that her legs were really, really jittery, and he said, well, that's just the nerves, like they haven't ever worked, and now they're working and they're doing what they're supposed to do. And so it was really, really cool to see, all you know, just almost immediately that it was a success. So.
Yay, good. Come on. Yeah.
Well, I have two this week. It's been awesome. I had a gentleman at my house concerning some drywall, and he came in with a t-shirt that said Jesus on it. And I said, just out of the blue, I know him.
You do? That's good.
Yeah, and I expected a response, but he was just like, oh. Well, afterwards, he was talking about it. His chest was all congested, and his sinuses and hurting, headaches. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And he was so surprised, and he said, yes, and we prayed, and he was just very thankful and all that. But that was something that I didn't know this person, and it was awesome. But then Friday, and Lisa was there for this one, mm-hmm. A gentleman came into the store. He was wearing a cross, and I just felt compelled to say, do you know him? And he looked at me, and I said, well, Yeah, and he got so excited, and I met him, and I've been learning and listening, but then that led into he's not allowed to see his daughter. There was a lot more to this, but I asked to pray with him, and got to do that as well. So Tune a Week is awesome. Sometimes I miss the sign, went right after they leave the store. I thought, but it was great.
That's good. That's really good. Come on, come on.
I have two as well. Back at the very beginning of September, my boss schedules me for a meeting, and she says, you know, in the email, she says, don't worry, it's a good meeting. You know, when you get that impromptu end of the day meeting with your boss, you're like, but she met with me, and I had pleaded my training and everything 6 months early, so they were giving me a raise sooner than expected.
Yay.
And then I had my semi-annual review just this week, so I got another raise. So two raises in this month. So
that was
awesome. Nice. My second one is last week I had written on one of the plates about my friend Stephanie. She was diagnosed with thyroid cancer back the middle of September. Prior to that, her and her husband had been trying to, conceive a baby, and they had done, fertility treatments, IVF, nothing was working. She went in for testing for that, and that's when she found out she had cancer. So they kind of put everything on hold. She went in the day after Thanksgiving to have surgery, and when they did, they always do a pregnancy test, just standard. It was positive.
Wow.
So they put the surgery on hold until she's out of the first trimester. Well, she just went back to the doctor this week just for blood work to see everything's going since they had to put the surgery off. And all of her numbers have gone down. And they did an image of the tumor and it has shrunk.
Yay. Come on.
So whoever's praying for that, please keep praying.
Now, what's her name?
Her name is Stephanie.
Stephanie, let's all just pray for Stephanie right now. Stretch your hands out this way. You stand in for Stephanie. Father, we just declare that tumor will shrink completely while that baby grows, so that one will grow and the other will be gone, and the one that comes will be wonderful and a miracle. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. That is awesome. Cool. Come on over here.
I know, I do this a lot. So my daughter, Cammie, you guys have been praying for her because she was doctor diagnosed her with MS before we... Before we went to Texas. They did a spinal tap. They ran all the tests, and everything came back negative for all the other junk that it could be. They are treating her for wisteria, which is a bacterial infection, and hopefully, well, I know it's wisteria, but if it's the bacterial infection, they're going to check her in 6 months. The lesions in her brain, she shouldn't have more, and they shouldn't continue to grow. It will kill the smaller lesions in her brain, but 6 months from now, they're going to recheck her. If the brain still has lesions on it, then it's MS, but we're believing it's bacterial and this is it. So
Amen.
There you go.
Everybody say, heal Cammie. Amen. That's good. It's good news. Yeah, come on. We're allowed to be happy.
Okay, I have three. I'm going to make it real quick. So I was doing our budgeting, and I had 10 extra dollars, no idea where this came from. So I stuck it in the tithe box, and I had 4 extra dollars, so I stuck that in there. The 10 became 100. And I just redid our budget, and we're $4 over. And then today, I start my first day as shift supervisor at Wendy's. So I am management now.
Woohoo! Yay! This is a great week now. I love what I heard here, testimonies. That's a really cool idea, by the way. If you're not in the spirit enough to know what else to do, just look for crosses. I love that, Marlene. Just look for a cross. And when you see a cross, go, hey, I see you're wearing a cross. You know Jesus? And just see what happens. They may just who are you and what are you bugging me for? Whack. Probably not, though. I find that doesn't happen that way. So let's lift our hands up like this. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for pouring your spirit out on us. we have so much more to give than we sometimes realize. So help us to be the one this week who gives more presents than anybody we know. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being in the Lord's house today.